He never disappoints anyone, brother and sister. Amen. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. All this sweet Master called, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. Command, for the Master called unto them, come and die. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfied the hungry. Up, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Amen. You should lift up, brother and sister, this evening. Amen. And He will meet up your need. Amen. Praise the Lord. A.K.A. Like a woman at the well, I was seeking
for things that cannot satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from the well that shall never run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. There are millions that live
yourself, what's your need, but maybe just say like Brother Brown says, A, B, C, and he will know actually. He knows you, brother and sister. He knows your needs. He knows what you actually need. Amen. Amen. That's why lift your cup. Amen. And he will fill it up. Amen. Let's sing maybe. It's that amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. And we will ask Brother Maxwell if he can come just to open the word of prayer. Amen. Amazing grace shall always. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For us the grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came and loved me so. Beyond my fault and so my need, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where
Praise the Lord. We are thankful to the Lord this evening. We can look the beginning of the week from last Sunday through the weekdays, today being Friday. It's for us to come to His presence and lay before our heart desires, our petitions, which He already knows. Let us stand before Him this evening. Why don't you say, Lord, I thank you.
Amen.
For taking me through the week so far to this hour. I give you all the praise, because Amen. He said in all things we should give thanks.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So, let us all with one heart lift up your heart and say, Lord, I thank you. Your grace, your mercies, your protection, your loving kindness towards me, Lord. I so much, Lord, thankful to you.
Amen.
Even this evening, the Lord Jesus, I found myself in no other place but right in your presence, Lord. Father, I say thank you. Bless your wonderful name. Thank you for my home, my working places. Lord, you've been so kind. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give all the glory to you, Lord, this evening. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, this evening. Father, we thank you for the week so far, Lord. How you have kept us, Lord Jesus, under your canopy, Lord. How you've led our footsteps, Lord Jesus. Every footstep that we have been taking, Lord. Father, it has been directed by you. And even this evening, Lord, you've directed our footsteps, Lord, to your presence, O God. Father, we say, blessed be thy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the journey mercies you have given to us from far and near, Lord. And Father, even as we have come, O God, Lord, we know it is you that have called us. You have drawn us, Lord, to you. And Lord Jesus, we surrender all. Our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, everything, Lord, we lay before you, Lord, this evening. That, Lord Jesus, even our praises and songs and worship, Lord Jesus, we believe the Lord, it will reach your throne of grace, Lord. That, Father, the atmosphere, Lord, will be created for the Holy Spirit to come and sweep over us, Lord, this evening, Lord. And even, Lord, as we wait for your word of inspiration this evening, Father, we believe that, Lord, you lift us up to another realm, Lord Jesus, a spiritual realm where, oh God, even our utterances, Lord, will be according to what, Lord, you will for us, Lord. Father, we pray that this evening, every request that is upon your children's heart, Lord, you know them already, their petitions, everything the Lord Jesus did desire of you. Father, they believe by faith that, Lord, you have already done them. But Lord Jesus, you want us to ask. You want us to seek from you. You want us to knock tonight. So Lord Jesus, we've come tonight to rest, Lord Jesus, till we have received, Lord, our petitions, Lord. So Father, we commit our pastor into your hands, even as you are preparing him, O God, to come with the word, Lord, that will inspire us, Lord Jesus, that will bring us to a place where, Lord Jesus, our utterances will be by the way of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Lord. So, Father, we surrender all to you once again. Take absolute control now as we lift up our voices, Lord Jesus, to worship and praise your name. Lord, may your name be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Daniel, will you find that song? It's There's a Land That Is Fairer Than They. Amen. This may be sweet by and by. Or... There's a land that is fairer than by faith we can see it at far, for the Father waits over the mountain, prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by we shall
sunshine in that land of perfect day. When the mist are over, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the sins of God are gathered, we will tell the story how we will come.
Understand everything, but Lord is not obligated to reveal us anything. Amen. Amen. We should be just thankful to Him. But song says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Amen. It's key.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. Teach me, Lord. Yes, this evening, teach me, Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me not to rely that made upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings, their seagulls.
A time of prayer before we come to the word. We wanted to seek the Lord's grace today to really come unto him in prayer. So seek for the Lord now. Draw near unto him, he'll draw near unto us. Let's lay everything upon the altar. Let's ask for him to overshadow us as we come to the word, as we come to the thought in the word, that he'd quicken us unto prayer. Let's all pray as we prepare ourselves for the word. I do believe that Satan would desire to do is to work upon our expectation. You know, our expectation of when we gather together, our expectation of one another, our expectation of what a church service can be, what a prayer meeting can be. I really do believe Satan is so much at work in the lives of each and every one of us, trying to get us tired, trying to get us, you know, different things that we go through to try to make us lose that something which is such an important thing, which is expectation. Because the prophet says, you get what you expect. You know, so if we don't have an expectation, if we come tonight and we just expect him to say, oh, well, no, we've got to be there, and then we'll just say a few things, and other people will pray a little bit, and then we'll go home. That's what you're going to get. That's what the prophet is saying. But the prophet's saying that if you come with an expectation, something inside of you that you want to meet the Lord, that you want to change in your situation, or that you want to break within the veil. You want some difference, some spiritual reality inside of your life once again in prayer. You will then get what you expect as well. And it's a very important principle, this one of expectation. And the prophet always takes Simeon as such a perfect example because he shows that Simeon was a person who was under great expectation. He had been waiting long for the promise. He was getting old now. Now, many years he'd been waiting, just like, and the prophet goes to all the people, right, from Adam, who had been waiting for the promise, had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But at this season here, it was specifically revealed to Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Yeah, and so he had such an expectation. You can imagine Simeon each day when he woke up, or each time Simeon would come to the temple, he wasn't coming the same as other people. You know, so many people were just coming as a tradition because they'd always done that. You know, come at the hour of prayer, and you know, come at 3 in the morning, at 9 in the morning, 12 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon, the hours of prayer, and come and let's go and offer our prayer. And it was good. I mean, it's the people were doing what they were supposed to do. But when Simeon would come to the temple at the hour of prayer, there was a difference because he came with an expectation. Because every time he had come to the temple, there was a spiritual expectancy inside of his soul. He was expecting, saying, could this be the day? Could this be the day that he spoke to me of? So when he had been coming, You know, he wouldn't be wanting to come, you know, allowing things to weigh him down or to get him done. But he came with a certain something in his experience, a certain something that was quickened inside of him. And that was an expectation. And without that expectation, he never would have seen the Lord's Christ. Now, if he had have just yielded himself after a while and said, you know, I've been waiting for a long time and things had never changed. You know, it's been 20, 30 years I've been going up to the temple. And if ever the Messiah was going to come, surely he would have come, you know, by this time if ever I was going to see him. But it was revealed to him of the Holy Ghost. And the prophet says in the Message Expectation, 1951, he says, now, he had that desire in his heart. So it was a desire in his heart. He says, because he had the promise. You see, the Holy Ghost had promised him. The Holy Ghost had made something real to him. You know, that you will see the Lord's Christ. You know, the word, that particular promise was very real to Simeon. And every time that he had come, he'd been looking for and expecting the fulfillment of that promise. He'd be waiting. He'd be looking to say, but hey, Lord, you've made a promise. Is this the day that you're going to fulfill that promise? And he goes on to say, the prophet says, and he says, if you come to the meeting tonight just to find something to go away criticizing it, the devil will show it to you. You'll see it. But if you come to find something about God that you could go away and be blessed, God will show it to you. Amen. You know, and there's something about that. And you know, I just was really thinking about it today. It's very difficult, almost impossible, to keep a spiritual expectation without prayer. Unless there's real prayer inside of your life, real fellowship and communion with the Lord, it's so easy to lose that spirit of expectation. You know, you can just allow things to come down to a certain level, that things become a routine. You know, it's something which we always do. You know, you're not sinning, you're not doing anything like that. Yes, look, I'm always there, I'm always faithful, but there's no more that something anymore. You know, the word expectation or expectancy, the dictionary says, expectancy is the feeling or hope that something good is about to happen. You know, so it's a feeling inside of yourself that something good's about to happen. It's a hope. It's a something which is revealed to you. It's something within yourself. Something is declaring itself to you even before you get there. Or just as you arrive in that place or that situation, that something good is going to take place. Friend, I think that is a really important thing. And it's something which it's so easy for a person to lose. Yeah, and when we lose that, and when you don't come with that spiritual something, expecting something good to happen, you find it brings the whole atmosphere of things down. No, because the atmosphere comes down to meet our expectation. And if we don't have very much of an expectation, there's not going to be very much of an atmosphere. But if we really, really start getting like Simeon, what was the thing that kept Simeon under expectation? It says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, through those years and through all the things that were taking place among the Jews and all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but he kept the Spirit upon him. And it was that same Spirit that had made the promise real to him, that you will see the Christ. And so as long as he kept the Spirit on him, he kept himself in the spirit of expectation, because it was a spiritual thing taking place inside of him. So it's very difficult without keeping the Spirit on you to keep your expectation. You won't. You'll start expecting other things. You'll start expecting about your job. You'll start expecting about other natural things in life. Yeah, but the spiritual side, you won't really be expecting something good to take place. And that's how the prophet, he says it in this message, when he says, whenever he speaks of expectation, he speaks of Simeon, then straight away he gets to the deep, calls to the deep. He'll always speak in all of these messages, straight away gets to David said, the deep calls to the deep. So the prophet's saying, where does expectation come from? You know, expectation isn't something, spiritual expectation, like Simeon had. It's not something which you generate yourself. The prophet goes on to say, he says, David said in the scriptures, when the deep calls to the deep. He says, the deep calls to the deep. In other words, when there's a desire in here, there must be something out there causing it. You know, so without prayer, I just don't really see how we can have any expectation, because no, expectation is the spiritual fruit of getting into heavenly places. When you yourself, your soul, when you get yourself in the presence of the Lord, friend, and you've been praying and you've been waiting upon the Lord, and then maybe there's an opportunity to go and speak to somebody. Maybe there's an opportunity to go, you know, to visit somebody or to come into the house of the Lord. And you've been in that realm and you've been fellowshipping in the reality of the realm of heavenly places. The Lord, because you've been in that place where there's a great expectation in heavenly places. There's always expectation in heavenly places. If we could get up into heavenly places today and go and sense the atmosphere up there in heavenly places, you know, amongst those that have gone on before us, amongst the angels, if you can really, really find the expectation that God himself has, the promises he wants to fulfill. Even creation is groaning. It's under an expectation. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So now everywhere in that spiritual dimension, there's an expectation. The angels are under expectation. Paul says even these things, and Peter says the angels long to look into these things. They can sense the hour. They can sense the time. They can sense that, you know, things are pending, that, you know, there's things about to break forth. They can sense that inside of themselves. And you know, that's why they're under an expectation. And if we don't fellowship or get into that realm, we're never going to have an expectation. We'll just think, look, things are just going to continue on like this forever. Now, I'm not really expecting much to take place. Next week will be the same as last week, and the week after that's going to be the same as the week before. And you just get yourself living in that kind of a routine. But friends, I don't think we need to stay in that kind of, living that kind of a life. Because heaven is full of expectation. There's a great deep out there. God is expecting good things. Yeah, and Simeon had been fellowshipping with him, and that's why he had an expectation. That's how the prophet says, how many in here believes in divine healing? And then the people put up their hands. He says, that's wonderful. Well, something in your heart tells you there's divine healing in God. He says, before you could have that in your heart, there has to be a creator that put that in your heart. So even the desire that's inside of you, that desire was created somewhere. You know, you never created that desire. If you today are here saying, I really desire to meet the Lord. I want a deeper walk with God. I want to go back to my first love. You know, I want to get back into that state where the word is precious to me. And I really long and desire that when I take the messages and I read them, that, you know, that Lord already speak to me the way it was in the days of my youth when these things were real and these things were precious to me. My friend, for you even to feel like that, it's a blessing. Because blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they should be filled, because God is already giving you the earnest, the down payment of what you're looking for by even giving you the desire. The very fact that you're desiring that thing, a spiritual something, is an evidence that God wants to give it to you, because he's the one who stirred up that desire inside of you. The great deep that's inside of him has pulled upon something inside of you, and a deep inside of you is responding. There's something inside of you that's saying, no, there's far more than this. There's got to be more than this. It must be more than this that I can experience. And when you start getting like that, friend, something's going to take place. When you start desiring once again to say, I long to witness to somebody again. It's been a long time since I went and told somebody about the Lord. I'm really looking for that. And you start praying down that line. It's a sure evidence that God has someone he wants you to speak to. That's why he's trying to stir up the desire. He's trying to stir up the deep inside of you. And if you can just be, keep that Holy Ghost upon you like Simeon, that same Holy Ghost that's giving you the promise, that's stirring up the deep, the expectation inside of you, if you can just keep that Holy Ghost upon you and just keep walking in that expectation, you're going to see the very purpose that desire was given to you. You're going to see the fulfillment of that deep, because the deep has to be fulfilled in some kind of a way. Yeah, and that's why I really do believe. You know, I once before read the quote from somebody from years back who said, you know, until prayer meetings have more preeminence in the church never gets any further. You know, until we get to the stage of the prayer meeting becoming more important. And that when we come for prayer meeting, we don't want to come with no expectation in the prayer meeting. No, the prayer meeting shouldn't be something we're just trying to get it out the way so we can get home, because, you know, it's, you know, prayer meeting's not that interesting. But when you really get yourself into that place like Simeon, Whether prayer, you're longing for those hours of prayer because there's something which is declaring itself to your soul. Something is pending. Something's about to take place. There's the potential for good things to happen. You want to stay in that place and you're watching and waiting. But how is God going to do this now? And why is the Lord dealing with me like this? How is this going to unfold itself? Friend, I think that really is a very, very precious thing. Because if you look at Anna, in verse 36, she was of great age. She was really old. She had been married for 7 years. Now it's 84 years. She's a widow of 84 years. But it says in verse 37, she departed not from the temple. Doesn't mean she lived in the temple. But every time there was an hour of prayer, she was there. She was never absent. It says she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She stayed in that place of expectation. She was waiting for something, and she was always in prayer. She was at the prayer meetings. That's the only way you can keep yourself in a place of expecting these things from God. You've got to feed the promise on the word, and you've got to keep yourself in prayer. The prophet goes on to say, he says, if there's something in the human heart craving for divine healing, there's a fountain open somewhere. So if there's something inside of your heart today that's saying, I want to pray the way I used to pray, it shows there's a fountain that's waiting to open up to you. If there's something inside of you that's saying, I really long this weekend to get myself, shut myself in the closet, I want to put on those messages and I just want to get into a place where I forget about all my troubles, forget about all the tiredness and the pressures of life. I just want to get into that secret place of the Most High once again. It shows there's a fountain waiting there for you. And that very deep inside of you is the very presence of God inside of your soul, creating that deep inside of you, trying to draw you back to what it is that God has for you. The prophet says, when you are back yonder with just a lukewarm experience, and your heart began to crave for more of God, there just had to be a fountain open somewhere. He says there's a creator putting that creation inside of your heart. It's a calling out, a deep calling to the deep. There's a fountain somewhere. And he says, and Simeon, he had the promise of the Spirit that he wasn't going to see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. The prophet says there was a call in his heart. Now, there was a call. It was a deep that was calling to him. And I don't know about you, saints, but you know what my heart calls for? For better prayer meetings. For us to get to that place once again that we start to realize the potential of when believers get together in prayer. That place where saints come already under an expectation for prayer. When saints come already prayed up, saying, look, I've really done my utmost to prepare myself for the prayer meeting so I can unite myself together with the others so we can start now to allow this expectation to build and to grow inside of us. Because, friends, if we come on Sunday with an expectation, if we would really pray through tonight and get into His presence and allow the Lord to minister to us, allow the Holy Ghost to come upon our souls once again and start to stir us up with the great promises, the great potential that is before us, the great things that could happen on Sunday if we had come on an expectation. Now, I really do believe we'd face tomorrow in a different kind of a way. And when you get up on Sunday morning, it would be a different way we'd start to prepare ourselves if we had an expectation upon us the way that Simeon did. We'd now come to the service in a different kind of a way because we're expecting something. Like I say, expectancy means the feeling or hope that something good's about to happen. And the synonyms of it are anticipation, expectation, eagerness. You know what it's like when there's something good. If you say to the children, there's going to be a birthday party, are you going to have to get them struggling to get them in the car in time to go to somebody's birthday party? They won't. There's an eagerness. There's an anticipation. They can't wait to get there. Do you have to struggle with them to say, look, you need to get dressed. We need to go for the party. No, they'll be pulling the clothes out of the cupboard themselves because they can't wait to get there. Because why? They have an expectation. They're looking forward to something good. They can't wait to get there because they know there's going to be fun and games and their friends and fellowshipping around common things. Ah, friends, it's easy to lose that expectation around the things of the kingdom. And when we lose that, there's only one way. And that's to come in prayer and unite ourselves together and say, Lord, let the deep that's inside of you minister to the deep that's inside of us. Stir us up, Lord. Give us an expectation once again. Because saints, if we really had the real expectation we should have in church at this time, we wouldn't have so many empty chairs here tonight. Yeah, there wouldn't be. Now, if we really had that expectation, the chairs wouldn't be empty at all. Listen what the prophet says in the other message, Expectation 51 as well. He says, Simeon believed because the Holy Ghost had promised him. He says, if you're expecting it, you've got something behind that. You believe God promised it. Then you've got a right to expect it. Now, if you've got an expectation, you've got every right to look to the Lord and any moment now expect Him to break through and do what He's promised to do. But you've got to have an expectation. If you don't have an expectation for God to fulfill His word, God doesn't fulfill His word. If you don't have an expectation for God to speak to you, God doesn't speak to you. Because it's like He's got to put this expectation in you first as the way of preparing you. Now, so that you start to seek Him and desire Him and start to approach Him the right way. And then He says, good. Now the conditions are right for me to do what I wanted to do. Before we come to pray, he says, Daniel, he says, when they told him they were going to throw him into the lion's den, he was expecting God to be there. Amen. And when he went to the lion's den, Daniel, why was he expecting God to be there? Why? Because things had been leading up to that stage. This wasn't something that just came by surprise in Daniel's life. He had been praying 3 times a day. He'd been setting his face towards Jerusalem. That's what the prophet says. He was expecting God to be there. He believed that he had lived right before God. Amen. And therefore, he had a right. He had a right to expect God to be there. Amen. Because he had been living faithfully before the Lord. Amen. He had been faithful in his duty to the kingdom. So he was now expecting the kingdom to be faithful to him at that time. He says, every day he raised the shades towards the temple and looked towards that holy temple and prayed because he believed there was a burning sacrifice on the altar at that hour in the temple. And he believed that God heard his prayer because there was an innocent substitute making an atonement. And when he went into the lion's den, he didn't fear the lions because he was expecting God to deliver him. Our friends, what promises that he gives to us, that even as we come to pray, that's what he says in the next paragraph. He says, God has promised where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. And the prophet says, he's here because that's the promise. And if we can just allow that promise to work upon us, we'll have an expectation to say, Lord, we're walking as your people. You've given us the promise. He says, and whatever they agree upon and ask, they shall receive it. That's the promise of the word. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them, they will be given to you. The prophet says, that's wonderful. That's the promise. God promised it. We believe it. Let's have an expectation. Our friends, that's how whenever we gather together, we should come under an expectation of that promise. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together, friends, the potential is tremendous there. He said, for I will be together with you in your midst. Yeah, and he says, and if 2 of you or 3 of you agree on anything, pertaining to anything, if you agree in that realm, he says, I'll do it for you. And he says, and whatsoever things you ask for, if you pray, believing, you shall receive them. Those are serious promises. Now, if we would come sometimes before prayer meeting and go and read those promises again in a spiritual atmosphere and wait upon the Lord and let those promises start to declare themselves to us once again, by the time we had come to the season, the hour of prayer, we'd have such an expectation. We'd have such a desire to say, but Lord, these promises are real. I'm coming to you in your precious name. We have these needs, we have these desires that are before us. Yeah? And you'd come with an expectation to say, Lord, we're coming just like Simeon under a promise. And there's a deep inside of us that is declaring unto us that you want to fulfill these promises in us. Yeah, and those messages of the expectation, he continues on and on and on. And he speaks of those things. Now, in the message, Inner Man, he says, if you'll notice, when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, they were in one place in one accord, waiting for the promise. You see, they got themselves expecting. Every time they prayed, the expectation got deeper. Acts chapter 1, they got their things in order, sorted their things out amongst themselves. Each time they would get into prayer, the expectation became greater because they were gathering under a promise. The Lord had says, when you gather there in Jerusalem, yeah, tarry ye in Jerusalem and you shall receive the promise of my Father. You shall be imbued with power from on high. And every time they gathered, every time they prayed about it, it became more and more real to them. Yeah, and they started to get themselves into a place that they were under an expectation. There was an anticipation. When they're gathering together, they were saying, brethren, something's about to happen. Amen. They could feel that. I think today could be the day, brethren, because you can sense something is pending in heavenly places. But I don't think it was like that the first time they prayed. I don't think it was like that. When they first gathered there and had all the differences between them and so forth, and they said, okay, saints, let's come and pray. Yeah, I'm sure everyone was praying in their own kind of a way, but there wasn't a common expectation among them. There wasn't a something spiritual that was declaring itself to each of them. But as they stayed and continued those 10 days in the upper room and prayed, it became more and more real. And you can imagine them going home after maybe 4 or 5 days or when they had finished the prayer meeting and they were fellowshipping amongst each other, they would start to say, you know, brother, how are you feeling the way that I'm feeling? Are you feeling it? Something is heaven is drawing near. There's something pending. Something's about to take place. And then maybe Thomas would say to James, James, I'm feeling the same as you. I'm feeling it inside of my soul. And that's why they were looking forward now to the next time of prayer because they could feel there was a momentum now. They were getting somewhere and the promise was declaring itself more and more. The expectation inside of them was increasing and gaining as they continue to pray and wait under that promise. And friend, that's why it's so very, very important prayer. Yeah, and I really do believe that we've totally underestimate how important the prayer meetings are. We said it the other week, how much the prayer meeting on a Friday so much determines the results on a Sunday. You feel it completely. Yeah, it's such an important thing because when you pray, when you bring your soul into that dimension, he starts now to give you an expectation. The Lord starts out to minister to you inside of yourself. The deep starts to call to the deep that's inside of you. And you start now to realize the expectation of what could take place in heavenly places. And then by the time you come on a Sunday, you come with an expectation. You're wanting in the song worship, you say, Lord, meet with me in the song worship. I want to worship you in the song worship. You know, come down and let your blessing fall as you get into the song. And as you come to the preaching of the word, you've got things stacked up inside of your heart. And you're saying, Lord, I've got these questions. I've got these needs. I've got these desires. Show me the way. Let the word come forth. Lord, you speak from within the veil. You speak from the Shekinah. Minister, show me about the situation that I'm in. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me the way I'm supposed to act. Lord, come and minister to me. And friends, if you do those things with an expectation, the prophet says you get what you expect. And it's an absolute truth, saints. Yeah, but I really do believe, like I said in the beginning, Satan really wants to work on us to try to get that expectation down. You know, that we can gather and leave and go home and say, that was good. But there wasn't an expectation when we came, so we got what we expected and we went home. But to a genuine believer, there's a deep inside of you that's never going to be satisfied with something less than what it is that God has for us. And that's, I would say, as we'd come to pray, let's really pray for this. Now, let's really pray. Let's pray for ourselves, obviously, first of all, that we may draw nigh unto him, that, you know, the Holy Ghost may come and anoint us in a deeper way like it did with Simeon, you know, like it did with Anna, to declare that you know, the potential to us. And let's pray for the other saints that are here tonight. You know, let's pray one for another. Let's pray for the saints that should be here, but they're not here. Let's really pray that the Lord will just stir up an expectation inside of them as well, that they may, you know, once again desire to come into his house at the season of prayer. Let's pray for them that can't be here. You know, Brother George and, you know, Brother David's in Carlo. Let's pray for them as well, that the Lord might really, really minister to them in the situation that they are in. But friends, it's a very important principle. And that's how the prophet preaches it time and time again when he speaks about expectation. There's nothing better than living your life expecting good things. Imagine waking up in the morning each day and you're going out and expecting to see what the Lord's going to do. You're expecting to see the Lord manifest his promises. But it needs us to come together in a unity to say, Lord, stir up the expectation that is in us. Let us draw nigh unto you. Lord, let the deep, let the fountain come and minister to the deep that's inside of us. Create in us, Lord, the desire, once again, that expectation that we may glorify your name. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Let's really, really seek his face. Whatever the Lord has put in your heart, whatever your desire, whatever your burden, no, whatever the Lord's laid upon your heart, if it's there in the spiritual realm, it didn't originate from you. He's the one who put it there. And let's bring these things back to him. Let's sing one chorus, Brother Vlad, if you could. And let's come to a time of prayer. Let's really seek the face of the Lord upon this evening. Let's seek his grace.
Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make once more. Fill my cup, Lord, my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Saints, let's remember Brother George. Let's remember Brother David, like I say, in Carlo. Let's remember Brother Vlad. He's going on holiday Sunday to join his family in Slovakia. Let's remember Brother Wilmore as well, is at work this evening. Lord, lays upon your heart. Let's look to the Lord. Let's come before him in prayer. Let's not be in any hurry, saints. But let's wait upon the Lord. Let's seek his face. Let's draw near to him. Amen. Saints, let's read one scripture before we come to a closing prayer. Let's just remind ourselves in the book of Daniel once again. Daniel's expectation that he had in Daniel chapter 9. What was Daniel looking for? Daniel was looking for full restoration. He saw the people were in captivity. He saw the season of the promise had come. He felt inside of himself there was something stirring itself up inside of himself, because he knew that it was time for God to move and do something on behalf of his people. It was time for the Lord to provide them a house, the temple, once again to restore. You know, so Daniel, he wanted to get himself into the spirit of expectation. He felt something stirring up, so he took the promises of the word. Verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he read the word, and the word stirred him up. Now, that word created in him a deep, there was something stirring. And as he fed that flame of that expectation inside of himself by feeding upon the prophetic promises for that day, it just got so overwhelming to him. And the good thing about Dan, like we said many times before, he didn't leave it to other people. He took the burden upon himself. You know, he said, look, I'm close to the Lord at this time. I've been walking with the Lord in the palace. The Lord has blessed me and helped me. But there's a need now. We need the Lord to minister to us that he may restore his house. And he says, and I set my face in verse 3 unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So there were quite a number of different things that took place that he combined together. He offered prayer and supplication. It wasn't just prayer, but it was supplication. It was really bringing serious requests before the Lord, making supplication, earnest request before the Lord with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He humbled himself. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord God, Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. So he may confess the sins of himself, his house, his father's house, and he confessed the sins of Israel. So I really love it. He put himself together in the situation. Didn't put the blame anywhere else. He didn't put the responsibility on other people. But he said, no, Lord, I'm just as much part of this as anybody else. So, Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm confessing my sins. I'm making sure there's nothing between you and me. And he put everything, pleading the grace of God's covenant. And then he continued on, and we know what he says. We go down to verse 16. He says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all them are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Friend, the man, he really got himself into the spirit of prayer. And straight away, it says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and says, O Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I've come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Friend, it's impossible for a person to have an earnest desire inside of their heart and seek the Lord with confession and prayer and something not to start moving in heavenly places. Because from the moment you set your face to seek the Lord, something's going to start moving. It's a blessed thing. So friends, we have needs before us. The big need is the church. We wanted to find our place, what the Lord wants for us next. That's why next Friday we wanted to have special prayer. We've been speaking with the brothers about it, to really come and put ourselves before the Lord for a day of consecration and prayer, to seek the face of the Lord that he may show us the next step that we need to take. We really want to come before the time has come now, so we have a great need, just as much as Daniel and them had a need. And whatever other needs we have before us, Brother George, we really want to see him restored. Back in the post of duty once again. We have these things before us, saints. We really want to unite ourselves together to come before the Lord and bring these things before the Lord. So let's bow our heads. We ask Brother Max to come, maybe to close for us in a word of prayer, to put these petitions before the Lord for us, these things which unite us together at this time, and we'll just unite ourselves in faith as our brother would put these requests. Let's remember Sister Lily at prayer as well, at work. Let's pray for her. Brother Mike, his family in Ghana, that the Lord will continue to bless them and bring them safely back as well.
His Lord, oh, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Oh, every yes. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Every tongue tonight, Lord Jesus, is confessing the Lord, you are God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He is Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, we look unto you. Oh, it is only your name, Lord. Oh, He has risen, oh, from the dead. Oh, and He is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, every knee. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, tonight. Every tongue has confessed that of the truth you are God. There is no one like unto you. And so, Lord Jesus, tonight, even as Lord Jesus, your children, oh God, oh, had come with all humility, with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, Lord. And have Lord Jesus seek the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We believe that Lord Jesus, every utterance tonight that the Lord has passed through the lips of your children, oh Lord, it is your will, oh God. So Father, we say thank you, we bless you, Lord. Father, even as your word says, if anyone hides iniquity in his heart, you can never answer that one. Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, we seek forgiveness, Lord. If there is any hindrance, any obstacle, no matter how be it, Lord, we want to see the Lord. Everything is perfect before you. So, Lord Jesus, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you have lifted every hindrance, obstacle that, Lord, might have been, oh Lord, hindering, Lord Jesus, our prayers tonight. And we believe that, Lord, every request tonight is right upon your altar of grace, your altar of mercy. That, Lord Jesus, you look at them, oh God, and Father, through your grace, oh Lord, you will see to every request in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, your children have put their request before you. And we believe the Lord, it is the expectation that is, Lord, upon their heart, Lord, you have already answered them. So Lord, we say thank you, we bless you, Lord. Father, one thing that laid upon my heart, Lord, even whilst on my knees, Lord, is to commit, Lord Jesus, oh, our youth, our children, and anyone the Lord is still standing in the valley of indecision. Oh, Lord, have mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, even as you met Paul on the way to Damascus, even, Lord Jesus, as you chased even Moses to the backside of the desert, and they were never the same again, Lord, we commit them into your hands. Lord, meet them, O God. Meet them somewhere, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, let them now, O Lord, make a final decision and see that, Lord, there is no other place, there is no other name but the name Jesus Christ, where, Lord, they shall receive life, O God. Father, I commit them into your hands, Lord. Father, now we want to lift up your church, Lord, before you. Father, you know our needs, Lord. Father, we are seeking, O God, to find a new place of worship, Lord. And Father, we cannot do it without you directing us, Lord. You are the light, Lord. You are the one that can, Lord, open doors that are even closed. And so, Lord Jesus, we are seeking you now. The Lord, as we go individual to our closest, praying over this issue, Lord, Father, oh, reach unto us where you want us to go, Lord. And all the needs, the Lord, we are looking for, God, we pray the Lord Jesus, we know it is somewhere because you ordained it before the foundation of the world. And now, Lord, we are seeking it, oh God, from you. And so we believe the Lord Jesus, you will reveal something to us. That's our expectation. That tonight, even from your word, O God, it has made us, O Lord Jesus, believe that it is somewhere. And so, Father, we ask the Lord, lead us to that place, O Lord. Father, once again, we want to commit, Lord, our evangelism, Lord, into your hands. Lord, that's the work that you have given to us. That this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a testimony. Until the Lord Jesus, the last person hears, O God, we are still here. But Lord, we want to go home. So Lord Jesus, we pray, committing our evangelism, Lord, into your hands. The Lord, as many that, O God, oh, you have already ordained, called, oh, a holy calling, Lord, we pray the Lord Jesus, you lead our footsteps, Lord, to those places, O God. Even this hour, as our precious brethren, oh, David and George, they are in Carlo, Lord. We believe the Lord Jesus in Carlo, something is an open door. The Lord Jesus, that your work, O God, will eminently, Lord, all be seen, O God, that as many that are, Lord Jesus, you have called from that area, the Lord, we will see that a church, even, Lord, is established, O God. Once again, Lord, we want to commit our pastor, Father, into your hands. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray. He needs, Lord, your divine leadership, Lord. Oh, God. We pray the Lord, the Holy Spirit will always, oh, God, overshadow every decision, oh, God, that comes, oh, God, unto him. It will be from the Holy Spirit leading. Father, we pray that, oh God, you strengthen him always. Looking at the distance he has to come. Oh, looking at the work that he does. Father, all these things, Lord Jesus, it needs, oh God, your, oh, spiritual, Lord, quickening, oh God. It needs, Lord Jesus, your support, oh God. So, Father, we commit the family into your hands, the wife, oh Lord. Oh, that Lord Jesus has to also do her part, O God, to support the ministry, Lord. Father, we pray, committing all of them into your hands. Father, I commit the ministers, all the officers of this church also into your hands. The Lord, the work that you have laid upon their shoulders, Lord. Father, they will continue, Lord, with all spirit and with all strength, Lord God. The Lord, the moving of your word, O Lord, will be made eminent in this house, Lord. Father, tonight, what we have heard, O God, oh, Lord, our expectation is so high now. We are expecting great things, Lord, oh, for our children. Oh, Lord Jesus, that they will grow, God. Oh, seeking you always in their lives, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will protect them against the wickedness of this world, Lord. Out there, Lord Jesus, Father, we pray that, Lord, you will blind them, O God, to the things of this world. Father, only open their eyes to heavenly things, Lord. The Lord, they will remain tools, vessels in your hands. The Lord, they will be the future leaders, oh God, if you tarry, oh God. Father, protect them, Lord. We commit them into your hands. Lord Jesus, in this house, many are looking for jobs. Many are looking for their documents. They have laid it before you. But Lord, we want to see testimonies now. We want to hear testimonies now in your house, Lord. We want your name only to be glorified, O God. So Lord Jesus, the needs of your people now from today, we want to see them coming in one by one, O Lord, following one and another, Lord, that your name always will be glorified in this house, Lord. Father, once again, we say thank you. We bless you for all that you have done for us. We commit, Lord, our precious brother who will be traveling to meet the family into your hands, Brother Vlad. Father, grant him many mercies, Lord. And Lord, let his visit to God, his going be a blessing, O Lord, unto the family over there. And while they come back, O God, let them come with testimony to the glory of your name. As many that, Lord Jesus, are still in the holidays and rest, Father, we pray that, to God, you bring them back safely. We thank you, Lord, even tonight as we are moving out from here to our cruises. We want the Holy Spirit fire, O Lord, to be with us right into our cruises, and that, Lord, we will continue to seek your face, O God, in our individual homes. O Lord, we pray that this house, this church, will be that glorious church, without blemish, without wrinkle, without spot, which you said you present to yourself. Let it be so, that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, brother. Amen. Esther Smith singing that song, "Here's Lord." Let's greet one another. God bless you, brother. Innocent, good to see you, brother. God bless you richly, brother. Let's sing that as we greet one another and dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.